The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Now we have a treat for you because David McRedmond, the boss of On Post, has joined me. You know, it is a nationwide company. It's had its woes. It has faced a significant transformation. David is coming up to a 3-year. He started in October 16, I reckon. He left the handy number that he had out in Ballymount at TV3. And basically, it looks on paper like he's done an outstanding job. I think he's recently won a Businessman of the Year award or something. He has taken a loss into a profit of 41 million. But I'm saying, hold on a second. He got 100 million or 50 million net out of selling the shares in One For All gift voucher, and he's closed down all the sub-post offices. No wonder he's smelling of roses. David, first of all, what do you attribute the change in the financial fortunes of On Post?
Ivan, I think it's a number of things. We made a number of big moves, and we're continuing to make big moves because the company really needed it. Because it was, you know, the old world of letters is diminishing. The old world of cash services and post offices is diminishing. So we needed to transition to new worlds, and that requires big moves. We did. The first thing we did was we priced it properly. We priced the service. That was very controversial.
So you put
we
up the price of an envelope from what to what?
Yeah, we put it up from 72 cent to a euro.
And
But you know what? At a euro, it still represents good value.
And if you send an envelope abroad, what is it?
And now it's 170. So, you know, so that's that, you know, but putting up those prices makes sense because people...
Fleecing the customer makes sense.
People know because... No, because customers want services. The first thing they want is good services at good prices. They still represent very good prices and very good value. So that was the first piece, to sort out the core
economics.
Can
I just ask you, can you give an assurance the prices won't go up again, having made that huge step change?
Of course not. I can't. No. That's
you looking
that's
for
how
further
you get
price
it.
Increases?
No, we're not looking for further price increases right now, but we will do in the future because prices, because you get inflation in a market, prices go up for certain services. We might reduce prices in certain services. So, you know, prices can move in either direction. And you'd be mad to say that you're going to stick with your current prices because we are commercial, we are in a market, we want to provide good services to people, we want to make sure that everybody across Ireland has access to the same services at the same price.
That was the first thing you did, put up your prices. You call it getting the realistic return. Okay, that was the first thing you did. What was the next thing you did in terms of profitability?
Well, no, I think the things... Well, we've looked at our costs, we've looked at our cost base, and we've reduced costs where we can. We've reduced costs around the letters business. We've reduced some of the costs at the centre. We've reduced the number of employees. But we're now investing with employees in the parcels business, which is our future. Our future is as an e-commerce company. So we're having to make the switch away from letters and into e-commerce. That's a very big move.
And let's just take it in every walk of life now. I mean, occasionally people write into me here to give out to me in a Ballymount and so on. But really, every type of communication is done via email. I recently was involved with a court process and there was discovery with 1,800 documents and it was all done on the iCloud. There was no such thing as even get a printed copy, let alone posting anything. My point to you is this, that such is the nature of technology. An email is a record. You know what I mean? It's not like you need a carbon copy of this or a photocopy of it. Secondly, it's instant. It's not like it takes a day or 2 days to deliver. I mean, these are permanent structural technological changes. In the same way that the media has had to deal with the challenges of social media from a revenue point of view, surely there's only one way this is going to get worse. The day of sending a letter, you know, apart from a Christmas card or a birthday card, is going to be a thing of the past as more people, you know, engage with the digital age. And, you know, everything is paperless now.
Well, you know, as soon as digital closes one door, it opens another. Every e-commerce transaction ends in a physical delivery. That is why our parcel volumes are up 30%.
Not your telecoms bill.
Any e-commerce stuff you are buying usually ends up in a physical transaction. And that's why parcel volumes went up 30% once we'd worked out between the unions and ourselves. We worked out a better way to to approach the market with that so that we deliver 6 days a week. So we've laid our cutoffs. So we've made those changes. That meant that volumes went up by 30% in the first year, and they're still going up by 30%. And actually, one of the great difficulties we have is it's very difficult to forecast how many parcels we're going to have to deliver in 3 years or 5 years' time. It's almost exponential. We delivered 42 million parcels last year.
And you're projecting that will increase. Actually, that is
absolutely
your business.
And it will increase hugely. And that is our business. Okay. But you know what? Letters is still the vast bulk of the business, and letters are still really important. And there are still letters that people want to send. There are still letters people want to get.
I bet you the age profile.
And that reduces gradually.
The age profile of people selling letters tends to be older people.
And that's not great for your future.
And
the age profile of people doing e-commerce tends to be younger. So this is exactly what we have to do. We don't deny that the old world is dying. We see a new world opening up, and that's what we're going for.
As you know, there's a raging controversy at the moment about the National Broadband Plan. And what it boils down to is this. There are some parts of Ireland where the density of population is so low and the isolation so extreme that running a fibre-to-the-house cable is maybe uneconomic. Could I put it to you that Unpost faces the very same challenge, which is that, you know, delivering post in high areas of density is okay. You have a universal service obligation. Do you ever see that being reviewed? In other words, will you be told, actually, we're not going to send Paddy Murphy, the postman, out to you, and you're going to have to collect your mail from a depot, be it the local Spar shop or whatever. Do you see that type of change coming about?
Comreg are going to review the USO. It has to be reviewed by law every few years.
What would be your submission?
I quite like the USO. I quite like the idea that we visit or we pass by every house every day. Does that mean you need to maintain exactly the same service? No. But e-commerce is very different to letters. Some people can say, well, look, I could do it my letters once a week or twice a week. That may actually be true. But if you order something online and you want it, you want it.
You're paying more for a parcel than for a letter.
Of course you are.
That's okay. I get that, it's like a courier service almost.
You know, the issue of next day post, you know, 3 day post, which, and 3 day post is a lot of the mail that people get nowadays. It's called bulk post, bulk mail. Quite often bills go through that. So, you know, how that mix works, we'll have to see how that evolves. But no, I quite like the USO. I quite like the fact
that we visit everywhere. Because you could see how it would be economic to go out to the island, uneconomic to go out to the islands or the most rural parts of Donegal or Kerry.
But we're a service. We're not just a business. That's why we're owned by the state. We're a service. Here's an interesting fact. Post offices. We have 950 post offices. 552 of those post offices are in areas or in communities that have no bank. Now, that's the sort of opportunity that opens up for us around financial services.
That brings me on to the annual. I'm speaking to David McRedman, the boss of Unpost. Now, the annual conference of the Irish Postmasters Union took place over the weekend. And just on what you said, they said it's been lots of talk, lots of government platitudes and promises in relation to using your network for new financial services, both public services, be it by a Leap card or a driver's license, welfare services on the decline. A lot of people now getting money paid into their account as opposed to coming to the post office every week. What is your view in terms of delivering on new banking services, financials? Has it happened?
It absolutely has happened. I think actually the postmasters were talking about government services.
Yes.
Because the financial services which we drive are actually being delivered hugely. We've launched Unpost Money. We have the current account card. We're the biggest in foreign exchange in the country. We have now extended that out into loans. We'll soon be doing loans for SMEs. We have personal loans. We're extending it out into credit cards. So absolutely the pipeline is there in terms of the financial services.
Who is the real bank behind this?
So it's a number of different providers. So, you know, it's what people call white labeling. So we take different providers, sometimes in the same way that insurance brokers take different insurance products and package them and sell them. And it's a good way to actually address a market. You can find a particular market at a particular price, and that's a smart way of doing business. For us, what it's about is making sure that we keep to our promise, which is of Unpost Money, which is to deliver financial services which are human. And by that, we mean There's no complexity around it. They're straightforward products. People understand what they are. And by the way, there's also the human dimension around selling them. The fact that we are located in so many communities, the fact we're located in 950 communities, but that 552 of those are where there's no bank, that says something about our commitment to what we're doing. Now, of course, we also need to have the government services. We have some government services, we do them well, and we want to do more government services. And we're talking with government about that. And I think they're certainly the response I'm getting is I think they're quite keen to do that.
I mean, all this rings very hollow, David, in the context that you're the guy who's got your main reputation for closing some post offices. You've closed 152. You've incentivized postmasters to take the moolah and retire and not reopen them.
Yeah, because that's one of the big moves we've made, is to actually take the tough decisions that say we're not going to have post offices where nobody's living. We're going to consolidate those services.
So how many
services.
More are you going to close?
So, well, we're not closing any post offices.
No, but the rationalisation programme by agreement.
No, the programme is done. The programme is completed and we've closed 152 post offices.
No more envisaged.
Does that no?
If someone retires, will they be replaced?
No, not necessarily, but probably
more.
Will be. But, well, you see over time, you look at what happened. You know, it's got to be run like a normal network where if there aren't people in a particular area and a post office closes, each time a post office closes, it saves the next post office because it consolidates the number of customers.
Just because a scheme is voluntary rationalisation doesn't mean it's not rationalisation, Dave. How many more do you envisage you would like to close if people retired and if they took the package?
I don't envisage any number. So we don't have a plan with a number. I don't envisage
You don't have a
number.
Hidden agenda?
No, there's no hidden agenda here. Nobody could have been more open than we've been about our plans around the post office. Everything's been
public.
So are
you giving an assurance?
Everything's been declared.
Are you giving assurance that for every post office that exists today in 2019, that if circumstances of an elderly nature of a postmistress or postmaster retiring, you will relocate that in another building or another property?
No, I'm not giving any reassurance. I'm not giving a reassurance on price. I'm not giving a reassurance on post offices. Oh. The only reassurance I'm giving is that we are going to have a post office network that's going to exist for the long term, for the future, in the same way that we're going to have
despite all the politicians' platitudes.
We've made a huge commitment. So here's our commitment to rural Ireland, Ivan. We have committed that every single community of 500 people or more will have a post office. That's a new commitment. That was a commitment that wasn't made before. We made that commitment when we designed what we were doing with that consolidation program. And that's what we're delivering. And we guarantee every community of over 500 people will have a post office. And also, by the way, all the islands. Now, that's a commitment that was never made before. So actually, in terms of rural Ireland, 80% of our staff live in rural Ireland. 79% of our post offices are in rural Ireland. 80% of our distribution centres for mail are in rural Ireland. We are fundamentally a company that is in rural Ireland. And we've made that commitment stronger than anybody. The best way to show that commitment is actually to show that you make tough decisions. And you don't take rural Ireland as being some museum where you set an aspic, where you don't change everything. You change it according to how the population changes in rural Ireland. Okay. And you support those communities.
Your own background,
and we're proud of that.
Your background is in the private sector. You have worked for shareholders. What's it like working for government ministers and politicians who aren't always necessarily interested in the bottom line, but interested in getting re-elected?
I think it's very interesting having to deliver services that are also profitable. That's the real challenge, is that you have
to
do both.
Do you think Compost will be better off maybe in the private sector?
No, I think we're clear. But no, we're clear about our purpose. Our purpose
is... You like politicians meddling.
We exist for the common good.
You love to get TD's letters.
No, we exist for the common good. That's what we do. And we're here to provide services throughout Ireland.
But are you constrained in any way by the politicians?
No, we're not. I mean, the politicians, politicians are public representatives. You listen to politicians. And by the way, when I was in the private sector in TV3, you'd have the politicians on to you as well.
Oh.
It's not really any different. You listen to the
they're
politicians.
They're just complaining about Vincent Brown, though.
And Ivan Yates. But you listen to the politicians because they are public representatives.
Finally,
they have a view.
Finally,
so of
it's
course
the job of a CEO and its board to do five-year strategic plans. What, in your most private moment, is the biggest commercial challenge you face?
I think the biggest challenge we face is actually the transition to developing a parcels e-commerce network on the back of what a network that was designed for letters. That's a huge shift. And then in terms of our post office network is building the financial services and finally convincing government to put more services through that network, because that's really good for citizens, for us to be the place throughout Ireland where citizens can get great services.
David McRedmond, CEO of Unpost, we wish you every continued success. It is a very important public service, and thank you for joining us on The Hard Shoulder.